Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I'm so delighted to be in the studio. You know, I took a little nap. I was a bit tired. And as I was about to go to sleep for about 10 minutes, the Lord kept flooding something that I had memorized many, many years ago, back and back through my mind. And I wanted to share that with you at the opening of the broadcast. Then we'll go directly to your calls. And I memorized this originally in the NASB because that's a very pithy translation. And the words go like this: "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they'll add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you'll find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man." And then the familiar words: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." And then the writer of Proverbs quotes something that we're familiar with from Hebrews: "My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father the son in whom he delights. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for its profit is better than the profit of silver and its gain than fine gold." I love, and I'd go on, but I love this particular proverb in so many different ways. We're taught to do what we do with gentleness and with respect. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Well, so many of you calling in from everywhere. Talk to Shannon, listening in Decatur, Georgia. Hi, Shannon.
My question is about forgiveness. I had a friend, we've been friends for 30 plus years, and we had a disagreement last year about a money situation. Well, right after we had that disagreement, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. Oh. So my thing was, I have to get everything straightened out, you know, any animosity. I can't harbor any unforgiveness or anything like that. But the thing that really hurt me was, during my diagnosis, she never visited me or checked on me, and she became very distant. And it was at the time that she had gotten this settlement for money. So my question is, I prayed, and we've talked, but it's not the way that it was at all. And it's just like she's a stranger to me now. And really, I don't really care if we connect again. So my question is, have I really forgiven? I feel like I've forgiven her, but I'm confused. I really want to feel, I prayed, I'm like, Lord, help me to know that I've really forgiven her.
Oh, Shannon, you are not confused. You're wonderful. I mean, this is precisely the heart that we have to have. It is a heart of forgiveness. And in forgiveness, you always have two aspects. You have someone like yourself who is obviously ready and willing to forgive, the operative word being willing. But forgiveness is only affected when there is someone that is wanting to be forgiven. Now, you have no control over that. You have control over the disposition of your heart. So if she is not willing to accept your forgiveness or through forgiveness to affect reconciliation, there's nothing you can do about that. The great thing that I hear as you outlined the question is that you have a desire to confess your sins, knowing that He's faithful and just, and He will forgive your sins, and He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Just a great testimony to everyone listening in. You know, sometimes when you're hit in the face, you know, and hit somebody back. But what the Lord is teaching us to do is not to respond with unkindness, but rather to seek to emulate the Lord who has forgiven us an inestimable debt, and so we ought to be willing to forgive others also. Shannon, please know, I'll be praying for you, and I know since a lot of people are listening in from all over the world, they'll be praying for you as well. But thank you for your testimony, and that's really what it was, not just a question, but a testimony. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to John in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, John.
Hey, Hank. Asking this question, and full disclosure, as a Catholic who periodically listens to your show, I've heard you say before that in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, and I think in all things charity, if I have that right. So I'm curious if you view the doctrine of the real presence as an essential, and I'm not asking that as trying to cause trouble. I'm just curious, with the journey you've gone through, how you regard that doctrine.
Well, I would not list that as one of the essentials of the historic Christian faith, because certainly if you look at church history, the Catholics, the Protestants, and the Orthodox have different views. Now, the Catholic and the Orthodox view are very, very similar. So what you can say is for the first 1,500 years of church history, all pointed to a belief in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, which is to say that even before we were divided between East and West, there was a unity there. And even after the great schism that took place in the Western Church 500 years later, Luther still believed in the real presence of Christ. And I have mentioned this on the Bible Answer Man broadcast several times. I suppose most Christians are familiar with the great colloquy that took place in 1529 in the Marsberg Castle in Germany, essentially a debate between Luther and Zwingli. Zwingli accused Luther of bread worship, and he said, "How in the world can you possibly believe in the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist?" And Luther responded by saying, "Look, if you can explain to me how Christ can be one person with two natures, I'll explain to you how Christ can really be present in the Eucharist." And by the way, if Luther could have disagreed with what he called the papists on any point, this would have been the point he wanted to disagree with them on. He made that clear. So here's kind of the point of all of that. There's a difference between East and West in how you describe it. Luther would say that Christ is present in, with, and under the elements. Roman Catholics would say there's a transubstantiation that takes place. The Orthodox Church has never tried to explain this. And Luther was actually in that tradition. He considered this, as I've said before on the broadcast, he considered this a great mystery. And so we leave this as Orthodox people in the realm of mystery. The Western Church, again, has explanations for it. And while Luther may have won the battle of words with Zwingli, debatable, but I think he most certainly did, Zwingli probably won the war, because from that time on, there has been a fissuring in terms of significance of the Lord's table or communion or mass or the Eucharist, whatever moniker you'd like to use. There's been a fissuring such that I was speaking in one church, and before I spoke, the pastor was introducing me. He said, "By the way, if anybody wants communion, just go to the back. There's a jug there, and you can have some Kool-Aid and crackers on your way out." You have other people, like Joseph Prince, who's saying, "You know, take communion at home as many times as you want to take communion. You know, it's really actually for your healing, and so just keep taking communion at home in isolation. The Orthodox Church, the Catholic Church, Healthy, Well-Balanced Churches know nothing about rugged individualism. You take communion in community. And so the ideas that have been prevalent in many, many circles in the modern church have made me very wary of finding a safe spot, particularly for my kids. I mean, I wanted a place where I could worship God in spirit and in truth. There happened to be a local community that had been impacted by our ministry with some of the most wonderful people I've ever encountered. My children fell in love when we were just going there for a little while with some special needs children that are considered angels in their midst, and they started befriending them and helping them. There's an incredible prison ministry there that one of my kids was very much taken by. Well, anyway, I don't want to say a whole lot more about this except we're coming to station break. Please don't touch that dial.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI.
or visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Aaron. He's listening in Antioch, California. Hi.
Hello, Hank. Thank you for your ministry and for everything that you guys do there. It's such an encouragement to me, and I know for a whole lot of people. So thank you.
Well, my pleasure.
My question is, after the resurrection, when Mary encounters Jesus, in their encounter there, Jesus says to her, don't cling to me yet, or along those lines, something like that, right? Don't cling to me yet. I haven't ascended to the Father. And I was just, I can't understand what does he mean by that?
Well, the one thing he can't mean is that it was prohibited to touch his resurrected body, because obviously he asked Thomas, touch me and see if it is really me in the flesh. And that's really in the same context. So what Christ is instructing Mary to understand is that he is not going to continue in the same relationship with her as she was used to before. He was not going to remain with her. That was past. But Jesus was pressing on. He was going to ascend to the Father. That's why we say in the creeds, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again from there to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. So this is not a prohibition of touching the post-resurrected Christ, but it is instructing Mary that the relationship has changed, that he is going to be ascending to the Father. So there's a very dear and precious aspect to what Jesus is saying to Mary when you see it in that light.
Very good. Thank you so much. I appreciate that answer. Thank you.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. Teresa next. She's listening in New York. Hi, Teresa.
Hi. I have a question about the giants and when they were, after the flood, where did they come from? If everybody was gone, where did they come from?
Yeah, really interesting, because the giants were men of renown, men of old, as the text actually tells us in Genesis chapter 6. And I actually wrote about some interesting things that we have discovered. I wrote about this in my book, Has God Spoken, where I point out that when you think about this epic story of David and Goliath, typically in modern translations, what you read is that Goliath was over 9 feet tall. However, Dr. Craig Evans has done some research in this regard and discovered that the Greek translation, these are actually his words, the Greek translation, the Septuagint for Samuel, says something very different about Goliath's height. It says that he was 4 cubits and a span. And if you know what cubits and spans are, you know that that is about 6 feet, 6 inches tall, which was, from what I understand, very, very tall for antiquity. And this has been actually underscored with the findings in the Qumran caves. So the findings that we have from the Dead Sea Scrolls suggest that the seemingly impossible height of Goliath actually was a result of a corruption of the original version of 1 Samuel. So this is, one of those things that is ferreted out as new things come to light, and as people do properly textual criticism. It's called a science. It's the science of textual criticism. It's really comparing manuscripts with manuscripts, and through that, getting back to the autographa.
Okay. So it was a corruption of the book?
Well, no, there is a mistake in the text. So remember that when we talk about the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, we're not making that case for translations. We're not making that case for copies. We're making that case for the autographa, and the autographa emerges out of the information that we have, the copies that we have. And this is particularly succinct and true when it comes to the New Testament. No one has done a better job of elucidating that than Dr. James White.
Okay, thank you.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Miranda next. She's listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Miranda.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for your time. My question is, I have a friend who I would say is a part of the Hebrew Roots movement. Have you ever heard of that?
I have heard of that, yes.
Yeah. You know, he's been sending me a lot of text messages about the Passover, and I'm getting the message that it's a commandment for us to follow the feast of festivals. And, you know, when I read the text that says to keep this forever, I know that Jesus was the Passover lamb, but that says forever. So I'm conflicted. Could you help me know what I'm supposed to receive from that, from the text?
Sure. The text is very interesting in light of the fact that Jesus Christ said, I did not come to abolish the law and the prophets, I came to fulfill them. And so what you have is the types and shadows fulfilled in our precious Lord Jesus Christ. So why do we not celebrate that which has been fulfilled? Because if we do that, Hebrews tells us that we are trampling upon the sacred blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the covenants are the same covenants, but one covenant is better than the other. And the reason it is better than the other, and the reason we celebrate Pascha, is that Jesus Christ, his blood, is better than the blood of bulls and goats. I'm going to have to leave it at that. Great question. I've written about this in many different places, including my book, Has God Spoken? Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Jack next. Hi, Jack.
Hi there, Hank. Privilege to be on the show.
Well, it's nice to have you.
I'm representing about five other men and calling asking about Ephesians 5:26.
Hmm.
Could you explain or add some color to the portion of cleansing our wife by washing the water with water through the word?
Yeah, if you read the context of this passage, you see that there is a parabolic aspect to it. The mystery of Christ and the church. And so the analogy has to do with Christ and the church. That's the focus of what's going on in the passage. And so marriage is a wonderful way in which we can understand the mystery of Christ and the church. Marriage is so emblematic of that. My relationship to Kathy, you know, it's very, very significant. It is an earthly, perceptible, very real relationship that points me to an even greater relationship, and that is my relationship with Jesus Christ. In general, if you're talking about marriage, marriage is parabolic, as I just mentioned. It is for psychophysical pleasure, and it is also for propagation.
That helps wrap things up a bit. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for calling. Let's go to Eugene next. He's listening in Freehold, New Jersey. Hi, Eugene.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Look, my question is, where do you find when Jesus was carrying the cross that he fell down three times?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. We did some research on that. And the research reveals that the Gospels record that Jesus carried his own cross, and then Simon of Cyrene was required by the soldiers then to carry the cross. If you understand what Jesus Christ went through in his passion, you'll understand why it would have been difficult for Jesus Christ to carry the cross. But the Gospels really don't say that Jesus fell, to the best of my knowledge, while carrying the cross. So the three falls of Christ included in what are called the stations of the cross. If you've ever been in Israel, in Jerusalem, you've probably encountered that firsthand. These were introduced in the late Middle Ages. So this is a way of identifying, in a Trinitarian sense, I suppose, with the passion of the Christ. It's certainly not only plausible, but likely that he fell. And the tradition is that he fell three times, but we don't know that with absolute certainty. There's a sense in which there's a communal memory of the church that passes these things on through the ages. And so the idea is a wonderful idea, but again, it is not buttressed by Scripture to the best of my knowledge.
Okay, because I couldn't find the article. I searched all over. Couldn't find it. It does say something about the Catholic have some part in, but he fell down three times.
Yeah, well, it has been traditional in the church now for quite a long time. That is the belief that many people hold. But again, it is a belief that has more to do with perhaps a communal memory that is passed down through the ages, or sometimes it's called a community memory, passed down through the ages than it does with what we find in the actual biblical text. My appreciation to all those that pray for me and pray for the ministry and for those who support the ministry financially as well. Thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Look forward to seeing you on the next edition of the Bible Answer Men broadcast.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.